Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Perestivopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two Orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. All right, welcome everybody back to The Fighting Priests. My name is Father Ted Perestivopoulos, and I'm here with my co-host, Father Thomas Sandberg, and we are celebrating our third year anniversary of this podcast. And along with us is also Father Thomas's daughter.
So if you hear the noise, it's Sophia.
There you go. Okay, happy anniversary, Father.
You as well. I was scrolling through old episodes in the notes yesterday, and I was like, 2020. I was like, oh man, it doesn't feel like
right.
I'm right. Too fast.
It's creepy. Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, we were saying, what are we gonna do for our third anniversary? Like, maybe we'll just reminisce a bit about the last 3 years, because we actually haven't done that, and it's been 3 years. Like, our first episode was on April 6, 2020, which is crazy. And this episode will I think it's going to air. We're airing it on April 10th, so close enough to the kind of like the last episode of this season before we start the next one. But we started during COVID, right at the beginning of the COVID lockdowns, and it's just maybe because it's been COVID and because it's been this ongoing saga, even though it's all done now, that it feels like much less than 3 years to me.
Yeah, it definitely does to me.
Yeah. So I don't know, like, just crazy. Yeah. And since our last, our last two episodes, we had a really great, we had Captain Andre Petrov, who's like from the US Marines. And that was a great, great interview that we did with him. And we split it into two episodes just because it was so long. And I didn't want to cut any of the conversation. And he's, you know, he'll be going into ministry, and that was great. But since then, you know, I moved to a new parish as well. So that was a huge, crazy time. You know, you moved to a parish a year ago, just over a year ago, I think, right?
Yeah, almost 2 years.
Oh, 2 years now? Oh,
geez. Well, September, it'll be 2 years, yeah.
Oh, September. Okay, so you're a year and a half, right? Let's say, right?
Year and a half.
So you're a year and a half there, and I remember how stressful that was for you. And then, yeah, so since the last time we recorded our last episode, I got transferred. Not far, but I went to Prophet Elias Greek Orthodox Church, which is in Mississauga, which is the next church over, I guess you could say, west of St. Constant Helen, where I was before. Mm-hmm. As we record this, I've been here for about 3 weeks now. And it is, it's a massive community, a very nice community. I was actually ordained here 15 years ago this month, March. I know this episode is going to be air April 10th, but we are recording at the end of March right now. And, in the fourth week of Lent, and I was ordained here March 29th in 2008. Yeah. So I was a deacon here for 8 years, 8 months. And then I got ordained here, and then I got shipped out to Winnipeg right away for 6 years. So the people know me here. Lots of people who are still here that long ago, but yeah, it's kind of, it's nice to kind of come back, but it really was hard, you know, to say goodbye to St. Constant Helen. I was there for 8.5 years.
And that's really, that's where I was ordained a priest, at St. Constant Helens.
Yeah. It's a really good church and wonderful people. And it was hard to say goodbye. Hard for my kids, because my kids, you know, the twins were 2.5 and they came from Winnipeg there, so they don't remember anything else except that. Mm-hmm. Of course, Angela was born there and baptized there, and you know, the boys served in the altar and things like that, and the kids were in the Sunday school, so it was hard for them. But you know, the people here are very lovely too, so they've transitioned very easily, and they're still getting to know people. Of course, it's fresh. And so it's been highly stressful on this end too, kind of getting to know everybody and a lot of moving parts, like a much bigger parish. But it's okay. Training took a little bit of a back seat for a couple of weeks.
Oh yeah,
well,
I would imagine.
Yeah, I didn't want it
to. Yeah, that's the way it was when I moved here. Well, I guess it's different. Like, when I moved here, because then I'm switching clubs, so I didn't train much. I had a friend who I trained downtown with, who now opened up his own Gracie Baja in the northwest of Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
yeah. Yeah, no, I'm still, obviously, I'm in, thank God I didn't have to move my home and kid, take my kids out of school and things like that. It's just a little bit further away, but like not that much. It's like another 10 minutes on the highway, you know, further. But yeah, the training was like hard because, yeah, just like it was so many hours and meeting with everybody and board meetings and this and that. And I still train like maybe once or twice a week. But when, you know, when you go down from like five times a week,
yeah,
it affects you. But now I'm back on the normal schedule again. What really sucked was the heartbreaker besides, you know, saying goodbye to the parish was saying goodbye to the bunker. That bunker that I had, you know, for our listeners who know, you know, this kind of little dojo I had built at the old church, and it was perfect and it was beautiful. And we had lots of guys coming through, and it was a little closer to the city, and I had to clean it all up because there's no bunker at this church, not yet at least. And I don't know if there ever will be. And that was kind of like my happy place, right? Cause I could do extra training and during the days and things like that. And so, yeah, that was, it's on hiatus for now until I can somehow get it up and running again. So what are you going to do? It is what it is.
You got to go. Recently in my church here, finally, I got a master key and I went through every single room, any single door, anything was locked to see exactly. I had been here. Like when I first got here, I got a tour, but maybe not every exact thing. So I just went through to see what there is. Two empty Greek school classrooms. So who knows what we could use them for one day, but.
Sure. Well, yeah, you can train, do something, right? Practice.
Yeah.
Do some kettlebells, you know, some functional strength, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
I got enough room right now in the basement of the clergy house. So,
oh, well, yeah. And you're right there. Right. So,
yeah, it's like literally on the same property on the same lot. So,
yeah. So what's the point? Yeah. I'm like half an hour to 40 minutes away. So it's like,
yeah,
it's not the same, but that's good. Yeah. So I don't know. I was looking, like you mentioned before, you know, you're looking back, it's like the seasons, and I'm like, oh, you know, I go, I was saying, you know, what, I was thinking about what episodes did I like the most? That's what I want to talk about today. Kind of like the ones that kind of affect me the most. And, you know, usually we would only talk about the last season, like season three, this last year, but we've never really even done an episode like this where we kind of look back at all the other seasons. But so I didn't limit myself to the last year, although I was looking at that. And I don't know, just kind of looking back at kind of some of the guests we've had and some of the topics and which ones that were like the most, I guess, the most influential. I don't know. Did you have a chance to take a look?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't really know if I had a favorite episode. I don't know. In 2021, I think with Greg Pavlik. Right?
Yes.
Didn't he just get a concert of Reader in California?
Yes, yes, he was.
Right? Yeah, that was a good conversation with him. And let me see what else here.
Yeah, Greg, for those who can't remember, you know, yeah, he was in season one, right? Yeah. And he was a friend of Denny Prokopos in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but he's at 10th Planet, so he does Nogi. And I think he's still a Prokopos, right? So a really nice man.
So
yeah, that was a good conversation. Yeah,
of course. The one with Jim Trick. That one.
Oh yeah, yeah. The my white belt. Yeah. Do you listen to any other episodes?
Pardon?
Do you ever listen to his podcast at all?
No. Remember when I said on there I hadn't. I have since.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like since then. Yeah. Yeah. His podcast is good.
Funny. Someone at my jiu-jitsu club recently, the brother-in-law of one of my parishioners, started training at my club, and he had actually listened to that episode last week or something. So that's why it came out to me. Oh, that one or the one with Paul Chavez, you know, the Project X Guard.
Yeah, that was a good episode. Yeah, I saw Paul too in person. I was able to kind of meet up with him in person at Action Reaction in Toronto, where he trains out of, and he does the Project X Guard. They had a blue belt, like an in-house blue belt cup competition.
Yeah,
in January. So I was there for that. I got to see him and we got to catch up, which was really nice. And I've seen him a few times and organized some donations of geese and things like that. So yeah, that was nice. It's nice to be able to like have people where they're local, because you know most of our guests have been long distance. Yeah. So we've never actually, besides Zoom, we never get a chance to kind of like actually sit down and see them in person or roll with them. So it's nice to have some people where you can actually go and physically see them, which is nice. So I don't know. I, you know, my first, the series that we did on pacifism is one of my favorites of all time. Like as far, Orthodoxy, just because we've done like, maybe because it's also fresh in my mind, because the last two episodes, the two-parter that we did with Captain Petrov, you know, that was kind of like the part three of it. But but they were good. Like, I like that theme. I think it's central to kind of a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about. And, you know, we did the first part and back in the first season, just with you and I. And then we had Howard on, you know, the guy from us, from Seattle, and that was good.
Oh, yeah, Brotherhood of Angelic Crown on Instagram.
And then we had this one, so it was kind of like this running theme that we did, and who knows, maybe we'll have a part four in the future. I don't know, but I really like that. I like that that kind of theme that we kind of tackled. I really enjoyed that.
I find the type of conversations the best. Like, I guess there's like very little editing on the show now, but there still is. But I find episodes where I don't have to censor my speech or anything or edit the conversation, those where it's more like a truly free conversation, those are the ones I enjoy the best.
Well, most of our episodes have been actually, we haven't really edited. Like, I used to put music in episodes, but we never really heavily edited our episodes. Our episodes have been usually pretty unedited, except for like mistakes and stuff, you know, like you misspeak or you screw up or you forget something, like a stutter or something like that. Sometimes we do as hosts, but we haven't really edited ideas or thoughts out. I think it's been pretty good so far for the last 3 years. I don't know. But I like the Jim Trick one, like the religious power of BJJ. Because he explores that a lot in his podcast as well. Yeah, from a non-religious point of view, of course, but he has a really good podcast. And it was so funny that when we had Caroline Xavier on, the comedian, a few episodes ago, and she thought that we were secretly the White Belt podcast. So So I told Jim that, and it was so funny because she didn't know, she never actually listened to Jim Trick's podcast. She just saw the posts, you know, the Instagram posts. So she thought, it's so hilarious that she thought that that was our fighting priest alternate ego on Instagram. And then we were running that podcast. So there you go.
Now, the only main podcast I listen to now, because obviously I'm not in the subway in Toronto or walking in Toronto or Winnipeg. So I literally live right beside church. So my time is limited. So I pretty much just listen to like Jordan Peterson's podcast, Lex Friedman.
Yep.
Shout out to my friend Caleb. My friend Caleb in Winnipeg is the one who introduced me to Lex Friedman.
Yep.
And then those are the main ones that I pretty much, those two.
Those some are the more, same ones.
I have some I'm looking here on some Greek, but otherwise it's most of the stuff on YouTube I watch, more religious stuff. But I really like Lex Friedman because he delves into religion as well, even though I guess he's an atheist or agnostic. I don't know what he'd be. I'm listening right now, started last night on my way to jiu-jitsu, his episode on Islam. He recently did an episode on Scientology. So he's a big science guy, he's not afraid to go in those directions, so it's good. And there's even sometimes like the ones when I disagree with, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna listen to this and get a different perspective, right?
Yeah, I'm just finishing up one, the recent one that came out, I think yesterday. It's with Chris Voss, the negotiator.
Okay.
He's a former FBI. He's a professional negotiator. And that's fascinating, like, that conversation. All his conversations are good. Yeah, I like them. Like, Lex Friedman, Jordan Peterson, Joe Rogan. I listen to Russell Brand, Stay Free. I just because I find that Russell Brand also, even though he's all over the place, he's almost like ADD with his like talk sometimes. Like all over the place, but he does listen. He does. He's a good listener with different, and he has all different types on. Right. So yeah, it's good.
And then for any of our listeners who's on Twitter this past week with the drama going on with like Jay Dyer and the OCA, just so everyone knows, I do actually tell people to listen to Jay Dyer. So I'm not one of the legendaries poll at 97%. Oh yeah, there's some poll some seminarian at St. Vlad's did, and he allegedly said 97% of clergy polled say they do not recommend Jay Dyer, and he causes pastoral problems in the parish. But the problem was he made a diagram in his presentation, and Jay got you can find it on Twitter. It looks like it's a ladder of divine ascent or whatever, and for the demons pulling the guys down, he made it the sites you're supposed to avoid. So of course, like Orthodoxy and Dialogue, right? Public Orthodoxy, Orthodox Ethos, and there was another one too. Like, other than Orthodox Ethos, the other ones are super far left and pro LGBT everything. But then he had Jay on there too, and it was like, so it was crazy. So it's like, but I do a balanced approach. I say, listen to Ancient Faith Radio, listen to Jay Dyer, listen to Jonathan Peugeot, right? There's definitely some podcasts on Ancient Faith Radio, like Janine Constantine. Yeah, like, there's some really good ones, and there's some that I think aren't as good. Currently, I tell people not to, I say don't follow Orthodox Ethos because the canonical situation with Father Peter Hears, until that's resolved, I tell people not to follow that. But there's a lot of good content on there. You just have to be discerning, you know.
I don't know, like, so I have a little bit of a different take on it since I've been I don't listen to a lot of even though we were talking about podcasts, we're talking about our own podcast, but I've kind of like pulled back from a lot of the Orthodox stuff online. Not because there's not good content, but because it's just it's too much. Like, there's so much out there.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, and ever since I pulled out of, like, this is now going on a long time now, so it's like 2.5 years now, I think. I pulled out of Facebook, I pulled out of pretty much all social media, and I was never on Twitter or any of those things anyways. I only listen to like 3 or 4 podcasts, and they're all like, they're non-religious, they're not Orthodox, except for ours. I really don't age that much anymore. Not because I don't want to like learn more, but I've been focusing more on reading, like actual like fathers and things like that, and reading different saints' lives, like actual physical content when it comes to the Orthodox stuff. And also, I don't know, people have been asking me, and it's so complex online, and it's so there's so many things, and because our people are smart but uneducated, not everybody, of course, right? But because the greater majority of, and that's our fault, of course, as priests, most people are uneducated when it comes to just the basic teachings of the Orthodox faith. We assume they know, but they don't. And so because of that, you have these types of polls and things like that popping up where people think that what they're doing is right, because they're saying, well, if the average person doesn't know even the basic teachings of the faith, then of course they're going to get confused. When they go on these misleading websites that say orthodoxy.net or whatever. I don't even remember if that's an actual good one or a bad one. I'm just saying that, you know, just because it has the name Orthodox on it doesn't mean that it's good. And, but how would anybody know how to even discern that? And so lately when people have been asking me, what should I listen to and this and that, I'm very skeptical on what podcast to send them to. Very few, like Presbyter Gini Costantino, yes, a lot, because search the scriptures on Ancient Faith Radio, phenomenal, and it's solid, and it's vetted, and it's good, right? And beyond that, like beyond just like a few things, mostly I tell people, go to church. It's like, I've been really telling people to do that instead of spending all their time online. Like, it's like, pick a parish, don't jump around, because I find people who spend a lot of time online don't go to a local parish. It's like, fix that in your life first. Like, pick a local parish, go get affiliated with it, meet the people, have personal connections, like create personal connections and personal accountability, meet the priest, meet the other people in the parish, get involved there and learn from real human beings, because then you can gauge a little more like, you know, I don't know, I guess we're authenticity and it's more organic and it's more authentic than just sitting at home and like scrolling through podcasts and websites. And then once you have a good foundation, like a good, you know, I would say a good solid spiritual life that involves a physical parish where you're going to regularly and you can talk to people and you have the priest there and you know, and you can have a relationship, then you can start venturing out, I think, and start looking at other things when you have something to compare it to, I guess you can say. But when you don't have a normative experience of orthodoxy in your personal life, I find that the internet's not going to offer it to you. The internet only offers abstract information that when untethered from a physical kind of like everyday experience of orthodoxy, which is the only experience, like there's no substitute for the divine liturgy, it usually goes horribly wrong. So I don't know. I've been focusing on that a lot lately, and people don't tend to like that advice because people come to me and say, what should I find on the internet? I'm like, well, do you go to church? No. Pick a parish. I don't want to do that. I'm like, okay, well then this conversation is not going to go over it. Like, you know, I can't give you an internet based spirituality. That's what I've been doing lately. Yeah,
that's what I tell people with my catechumens or adult people who are Orthodox want to learn more. I'm like, I say you should come. And I always use my experience because like some people think it's difficult. But when I was a layman, I went to all the same services that in Lent that I do now as a priest. Right? Sunday, liturgy, Monday, great compline, Wednesday, pre-sanctified, Friday, heretismi, Saturday, psychosabbatal or spedino. And yeah, it's difficult because I was a welder. It would take me from where my job was in Winnipeg to where the church in Winnipeg was. It'd take like a solid 60 minutes to get there. So I know, but if you do all that, right, the liturgical basis is the life of the church. And then you have your own prayer life, the Bible and the church fathers. That's what I always point people to. And then everything else comes after.
Yeah.
But if you're not reading the church fathers, then you shouldn't, the internet's not going to help you. Because all you're going to do is listen to some other guy who does read the church fathers. And those guys themselves will tell you to read the church fathers. So it's like, so you may as well just read the church fathers.
Yeah. Or a prayer book. Or,
yeah,
you know, the divine liturgy, like the basic, like people think that's too basic. It's not. It's foundational. And only now, and this, I know this is ironic coming from us who have a podcast. You know, we're creating online content about a very niche thing about Orthodox and Jiu-Jitsu. Okay, granted, it's a conversation that we feel needs to be had, and it's not something you're going to find in a parish because nobody's really talking about Orthodox and Jiu-Jitsu. So, okay, this is the space that we offer it. And so I'm not against the podcast, but now I understand, you know, when I was in St. Vlad's studying, and again, this is like back in 2004, so 17 years ago, what is it? No, more than that. 18 years ago? Oh, man. 19 years. It's 2023 now. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
19 years ago when I was in St. Vlad's studying, and we had this one guy who was kind of like the groundskeeper, Willie of the place.
Okay.
Andy. Yeah, he was just this kind of very strange, let's just say, what's the word? Not charismatic, although he was charismatic too, but anyways, I forget the word right now, but he was an interesting character, right? He was the groundskeeper Willie of the thing. And I remember like back then, a Jesus movie came out. Oh, The Passion that came out back then. I think it was 2000. Yeah, it was in the early 2000s, right? The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's, right? And everyone's like, oh, this big buzz about it. Oh, you know, are you going to go see it? What do you think about it? And people are talking about it. And, oh, it's too graphic violence and this and that. It's too Catholic and this and that. And I remember I asked Andy, I'm like, hey, Andy, did you go, you're going to go see the movie, The Passion? And, you know, his response was, why? He goes, why would I waste my time? And I didn't understand what he was saying then. He was trying to tell me. He was saying, why? He goes, I got vigil tonight. What am I going to find, he goes, in a Hollywood movie about Christ that I haven't found in the church already? Good point. And of course I was young. I'm like, oh, come on, Andy, you know, like dramatization is good. And, you know, I'm not against it either. I love movies, but he's like, he didn't even see even a reason to even talk about it. Like, why? Like, what is it going to offer me that is more profound than the divine liturgy itself and than the liturgical life of the church? Mm-hmm. And then he brushed it off like in a very vulgar way. I'm not using the actual words that he used, but I didn't understand what he was saying. But now I understand what, like, it's like we waste our time talking about all this stuff. And meanwhile, mm-hmm. We're not even doing the basics.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even doing the basics. So just do the basics. And then it's like we were talking about like jujitsu, like a few episodes ago. It's like you got the enthusiastic white belt that comes in and doesn't know all the fundamentals, but he's watching Danahar videos. And he's watching Baron Bolo, Mikey Musumeci, Baron Bolo videos. And he's like, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, okay. Learn how to mm-hmm. shrimp. Learn how to do a proper triangle first, right? Learn how to do an arm bar. Like, and they don't know how to do these things, but they're trying, and they're just trying to do all this stuff and it goes horribly wrong. It's the same thing in Orthodoxy. It's like people are trying to like mm-hmm. school people online about Orthodoxy. Meanwhile, they don't even know the basics of the faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
What are you gonna say?
No, go on.
Just speaking of jujitsu and online content, I know like and beginners, like the B team, they started a beginners program finally. And all the stuff with Nicky Rod and his steroid test, the results came this week, and he's mm-hmm. natural. Uh-huh. That's one thing I find so weird about our culture, especially like I'm gonna be 39 next month. And mm-hmm. Like recently, like Cyborg and Vegna Rocha, these guys got suspended for exogenous testosterone and stuff like that. And when you hear the ages that some of these guys, like even Tom DeBlas, when they started using testosterone because they quote unquote had low testosterone, it's like, you guys are crazy. And in my opinion, that's mental weakness. It's like, you do not need testosterone replacement therapy. Like you don't have a hormone or a pituitary issue. Like you have a lifestyle issue. And so I think that's why it's what Nicky Rod, when he was saying he's natural and he's showing you don't have to use all this gear. Like, think about it. If he was a silver medalist at ADCC and he wasn't using anything against guys who were, like, that's a young guy. And I think it shows to our culture, people, like, if you see someone with a good physique, they think it right away steroids because so many people are not willing to put in the work. Right, they haven't been lifting weights long enough, or they don't put in enough volume or enough weight or enough training. So when there's someone who does, to get away from their own lack of effort, like, oh, that person must be using, right? Even that's why I think even like Gordon Ryan, the way someone funny, one of the comments when it came out, he's natural, and someone in the comments said, I'm waiting for Gordon's response in 10 Instagram stories and 5 posts, because he'll, you know, he's like a weird response when there's things he doesn't like in his stories, he goes crazy, right? And he just attacks people. So it's like, yeah, I guess you would feel kind of strange if you have a young guy who used to be your teammate who's not using gear and he's getting a silver medal against you and you're a gold medalist. And you are, and he is using, Gordon admits he does use, right? I just think it's important to know that for your health, that you don't need to use stuff like that.
Yes.
Right. And yeah, the B team has some of the most interesting, probably the most interesting jujitsu YouTube account now. Not everything they post is, of course, appropriate, but of course, that goes with the type of characters they are and the comedy they're into. But I think their overall message of training hard and not using steroids, I think that's a very important message.
Yes.
Sophia agrees.
Yeah, it's you got to respect that to a certain degree, like, you know, as far as them willing to, you know, it's in the name to the B team, right? It's like yeah, well, we usually don't win, but do the best we can with what God has given us, right? Yeah. It's like, this is the message, right? So
their episode with Craig, Nicky Rod, Nicky Ryan on Lex Friedman's podcast is really good for jiu-jitsu information. Yeah, it's interspersed with Craig's Australian humor, of course, but
yes.
I even went back again to listen to the one part I wanted to hear again, what Nicky Ryan said about advice for, I think he said mostly advice for beginners, but I always consider myself a beginner. I always want to know what guys' advice is about, but it was actually a really good jiu-jitsu podcast. So
yeah, I listened to that as well. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I wish some of these guys were religious. We could have them on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's like, it'd be interesting to see like some of these people, not because they're big names or any of that, but because they're on the circuit and they're very much involved at the highest levels of jiu-jitsu. It would be interesting to, and not, again, not like we haven't had like, you know, we haven't had people who have been training at the highest levels. Like we had Denny on there. Okay. Denny hasn't competed for a while, Prokopos, but you know, he was a winner in EBI and, you know, he was, you know, was he Eddie Bravo's first black belt?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was his first black belt. So, you know, you have people who are like, are training at the highest levels, and it's fascinating to hear, you know, what happens on that level and how they cope and how they train and how they deal with it. And if spirituality, if any, kind of comes into you know, into play.
Like, yeah, but that's like the problem with the guys who are allegedly religious, like Galvao, Wagner Rocha. They're like using steroids and TRT, and that's why the joke you see in the comments when guys just say just SIE and Jesus. Like, it's so, whether or not their Christianity or their Protestantism is authentic, they still make a mockery of it by the choices they make, because the non-religious people who are objective sit back and like, what are you doing?
Yes.
Like, so, okay. So Jesus helps you so much. Like, he's the needle. Like, and then you'll see it in the comments all the time. So it's like, it just makes Christianity look more like a joke. That's why as a Christian, you always have to be careful. You don't want to be fake in how you present yourself. You should live your life in an authentic way so that you're an authentic presentation to the witness of Christ to the world.
Yes.
And most Christians do that.
Yeah, and one would assume that would spill over into all your other endeavors as well, including
jiu-jitsu,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. So the way you carry yourself, we had discussed this on a previous episode about I forget which episode it was, about competing, right? We were talking about kind of prepping ourselves and preparing ourselves for competition, and we were saying that, you know, as Christians, okay, you go into a competition and I don't know, like, I think we may have differing opinions on this, you and I, but, you know, I can't remember actually, to tell you the truth, where we kind of, you know, where we concluded on this, but, you know, my opinion for myself personally is that even though I compete, is that, well, as an Orthodox Christian, I am not willing to win at any cost, right? I have lines that I won't cross, and I'm not talking about steroids and all that kind of stuff, which is like not even apply to an old man doing jiu-jitsu, but you know, just competing, it's like, well, you know, we talk about when you come to that point in a competition where, let's say, somebody doesn't want to tap, and you know that if you're going to continue, you're going to break their arm, let's say, or you're going to break an ankle or something, right? Well, and the question is, okay, do you do it or you not do it? Do you win by doing that, even though it's not your fault, because the person, you know, the person should tap, right? They know that they've been submitted, essentially. And is it a sin, or is it at the very least unchristian to go that far to do something like that, right? And I don't know. I've never been in that position, because I've, you know, anytime I've submitted somebody in a competition, they've always tapped. But I personally don't know if I could do that as a Christian. Like, so as an Orthodox Christian, if I'm in a competition and let's say I have somebody in a toe hold, let's say, right? And the person doesn't want to tap, and they're getting out, let's say, or they're trying to get out, and the only way to submit them is to essentially break the ankle, right? Like, would I do that? I probably wouldn't. And I don't know if you would. I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just saying. Oh, I don't know if I would. What?
I definitely would.
You know,
I'm like, we all know
there's
the
no
rules.
Judgment here on that one.
You sign up because I've definitely heard people in competition before, like with knee bars, like, but it's guys who tap too late. You can tell they don't want to tap, and then they do. Right. That's also the way I was taught. Like, I was by all my professors in the past.
Yeah,
maybe
of course.
They're Brazilian, right? But it's within the context of the competition, right? In a self-defense situation, you always want to not, right, hurt someone, because you are the trained person of the two. But when it's Maybe it's different if you were like in an advanced no-gi division, you're a black belt, and you know, sometimes you want purple, brown, and black together.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a bit different, but yeah. When you're like the same, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a sin or not. Like, that's not where I'm going with this. I'm just saying, like, my personality, right? And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'd be in that situation one day, and I'm like, no, I really want to win this. And this is the game, and you signed up for it, and I signed up for it, and we signed a waiver, right? And we know what the risks are,
yeah. Right? You're teaching him a lesson about.
Well, there is something about this. There's something to say about that, right. Too, right? It's like, you know, right. It's like, don't, if you don't want to get armbarred, don't stick your arm out, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, if you don't want to get your arm broken, tap early, right? Like,
Probably. I tapped the day I was rolling. I was thinking about doing some competitions that were coming up. Sophia, what's wrong? There's a submission only one on the 27th of May, but then I was like, why does this day sound familiar? And it's like, oh, I have a wedding, of course. And there's one May 12th, it's like a point one. But then I was thinking about doing that. But then on Saturday, like anyone remembers, I hurt my hand in December. Like still, like, look, if you see, I can't do the full fist yet. And my fingers got bent back. I was rolling with another black belt. We were going really hard. And I just tapped to that. He's like, oh, you okay? I'm like, yeah, it's just my hand. So I was like, but in a competition, I would have had to tap from my hands too, right? There's nothing, no one's paying me to get hurt. So there's no point. Sure.
That's a good point. Well, maybe that should be maybe a future episode as well, because even though we discussed it'd be interesting to kind of like take a poll. Actually, that would be an excellent podcast, I think. Like, it's like, contact all the Orthodox Christians that compete in all our podcasts in the last 3 years and do a little poll and say, okay, as an Orthodox Christian, you know, according to your own personal morality and how you understand it, if you're in a competition and it's the difference between winning and losing by injuring the other person because they do not want to tap, do you do it or not? And just, I'm just curious to see what the poll would be. I think I might do that for like one of the upcoming episodes of episode 4. It would be a fascinating conversation, I think. Right.
Yeah.
To get everybody, or maybe even have people call in and like, you know, give their, give a quick blurb of their opinion of why. Right.
Yeah.
And going to see, cause I'm just fascinated to see, I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer on that one. It's just, I think it's just more your personal kind of preference. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that'd be fascinating. There you go.
I'm like, I don't know. I think the body heals. Like, I don't know.
That's the best answer. Father Thomas, you know, would you hurt somebody in competition? Well, you know, the body heals.
their ego might not, but
that's a good that's a good t-shirt.
Yeah, it's part of it.
The body heals, the ego might not, but
yeah. Well,
that's awesome. I'm gonna write that down.
Because yeah. Even think that would, that ties into like, it's like the joke about guys who besides like, let's say Wagner Rocha or whatever, and those guys, like just guys like us or aren't priests or work like welder, whatever your job is, who gear up to the, how to say, do use a lot of TRT or gear. And then like even Craig Jones said, right, he said the Masters Worlds, that's like the TRT Olympics, what do you call it, like,
mm-hmm.
Like, what does it say about you're missing the point, I think, of martial arts. You're injecting yourself with something to win a $5 medal, right? That's a bit. So it's like, okay, well, maybe someone like that needs to be humbled. Like,
yeah.
Taking something really serious.
That's a good point.
Yeah, get your, is it your sister who makes t-shirts?
Well, I'm working on it right now. that's our next fighting priest t-shirt project, you know. The body heals and but the ego might not.
Yeah.
that's a great quote because it's true.
Yeah, it's,
you know, and sometimes you need it, right?
No, it's sometimes true. Like, I get caught with things sometimes. Usually in no-gi, the things I've been caught with in training is a freaking darce by purple belts even. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
So, the way I'm entering in off of a half guard or something. So you make a mistake and get there and you're like, no, you got me.
Yeah, of course. That's okay.
Yeah.
Part of life.
Yeah.
Well, my friend, we're coming up to the end here, at least of this episode, I think. And, you know, it's been fun kind of like just kind of reminiscing a bit. I know we didn't really have you know, any kind of major theme today, but you know, I like taking the time to kind of like look back and look at some of the stuff we talked about the last year. We went off in some rabbit holes, but that's okay. Once in a while, it's nice to kind of sit back and just shoot the breeze a bit. And why not do it on our third anniversary here, right? So
yeah, I still can't believe it's been 3 years. It'll be 3 years soon. That's crazy.
Well, you know, we'll do it as long as we want to do it, right? And who knows? Maybe there'll come a time where we stop, but I don't know. I enjoy it. As busy as both of us are with our parishes, it's nice to kind of, it gives us a little bit of a slice of life separate from everything else. And it's good. And so here's to a successful season four. I know we do have a few guests lined up, and we'll see where it takes us. And who knows what this new year, 2023, which we're already in, you know, we're already kind of a few months into it, but we'll see what happens. So the next episode, I believe we will be seeing each other around your name day, which will be Thomas Sunday. It will be a week after Easter for us. Orthodox Pascha is April 16th this year. Mm-hmm. So then we have Bright Week, which is the week right after. And the first Sunday after Easter in the Orthodox tradition is Thomas Sunday, which is, of course, your name day. And I think that's around the same time we will be airing our next episode. So we'll see you on your name day. I won't say happy name day yet. But to everybody else, as we will be airing this right at the beginning of Holy Week, we wish everybody a blessed end of Lent. And we'll say Christos Anesti afterwards, I think. You know, we'll say Christ is risen.
Yeah.
You know, afterwards, but a blessed Holy Week, a good resurrection, Kali Anastasi, as we say in Greek, a good resurrection, and for all our brother priests out there who are training as well, and all our other friends and our non-Orthodox friends as well, our Catholic friends who are celebrating, I think, a week before us this year. I think Catholic Easter is a week before. So we'll see you all. Father, have a good Holy Week, and it will be exhausting for you as it will be for me.
Yep, it'll be good though.
Yeah, it'll be good. It's always good. It's always rewarding. And try to train a little bit, maybe not during Holy Week, but I don't know.
Maybe the first Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll see.
You never know, dude. I made the mistake. Remember last year, I made the mistake of sneaking away during Holy Saturday after the morning liturgy to train, and then I pulled my adductor, right?
Yeah.
And it took like how many months to heal? So. Yeah, maybe I won't do that this year.
Holy Saturday, no, not for me.
Yeah, it's too exhausting. So, all right. Well, everybody, have a blessed Easter. See your father. We'll see you afterwards, okay?
Yep, take care.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests. Feel free to download us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, or anywhere else you get your content. Check us out on Instagram at The Fighting Priests. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at thefightingpriests@gmail.com. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul.